Golf Smarter number 596 is brought to you by DraftKings.com. So the U.S. Open, our second major of 2017, tees off this Thursday, and DraftKings.com has a $100,000 contest that's totally free to enter. When you play one-week fantasy golf at DraftKings, you'll be locked in on every drive, every approach, and every putt. Plus, fantasy golf at DraftKings is so easy to play, but we want to make it even easier for you. So stay tuned to hear from our experts, the Tour Junkies, who will base all their advice on picking winners in your DraftKings game. To play, here's all you have to do. Just pick six golfers before the tournament starts this Thursday morning. Then follow your golfers live and rack up points for eagles, birdies, and more. Oh, and if you're a new player, DraftKings also offers different contests against players of the same skill level. And you can start a rivalry and invite your friends to play in your very own private contests. Remember, the tournament starts this Thursday morning, so hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your golfers. Well, why don't you just wait till after you listen to this so you know which ones to choose? And be sure to use the promo code GOLFSMARTER, that's one word, GOLFSMARTER, to enter the free $100,000 fantasy golf contest. That's promo code GOLFSMARTER at DraftKings.com. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And this week, Golf Smarter is also brought to you by the Radio Baseball Cards Podcast. Now, if you're a fan of baseball or baseball history, you'll love to hear this week's episode with the first and only one of two players ever to receive the Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, and MVP awards, Don Newcomb. Now, in today's game, if a pitcher throws at a player, he's automatically ejected, and usually the bench is clear. But in the 1940s, pitchers didn't think twice about throwing right at the head of an opposing batter just to move him away from the plate or to protect his teammate. This week, Don Newcomb talks about why that strategy was so important to all pitchers in the leagues of those days. Find Radio Baseball Cards at smarterpodcasts.com or subscribe for free and get each new episode delivered automatically from iTunes, the Apple Podcasts app, SoundCloud, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Making your fantasy draft picks for the 2017 U.S. Open at Erin Hills with the Tour Junkies.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Hey, Tour Junkies, welcome back to the Golf Smarter podcast.
What's up, Fred? Thanks for having us.
Oh, I'm really happy to have you here. You guys saved me because, you know, being sponsored by DraftKings this episode and wanting to talk about the U.S. Open, I need somebody who knows how to do that because I am not the one to do that. I love the PGA Tour. I just don't love talking about it that much because I want to be a better golfer myself. I don't care if they get better or not.
Well, we're in the right place then. We're here to help you with your fantasy golf this week for the U.S. Open.
Well, that's awesome. But before that, let's talk about the Tour Junkies podcast. What is going on with you guys on that show?
Well, let's let Pat tell you a little bit about that, buddy.
Yeah, well, sure. You know, we've, I guess, since we last came on with you for the Masters, we're continuing to grow, and we've had some good guests on the show. We're expecting a very good guest for the U.S. Open show, which will come out on Monday, week of the U.S. Open. So
yesterday,
which is yesterday. So yeah, we're excited, and I don't know if I should mention the guest or not. What do you think?
I think you should.
We're expecting Kevin Kisner on the show, who is a friend of the show, friend of Tour Junkies, and we are very excited to get him coming off a win a couple weeks ago. And I know he's going to have seen the course, at least the back nine. So we're going to get some good insight from him. So we're excited about that.
So I just want to mention to the Golf Smarter audience right now, we're recording this on Sunday. Their show publishes on Monday. This show publishes on Tuesday. So if you go check out their episode and he's not there, it was a good guess.
Well, and you know, Fred, to your credit, you tried to educate us on that before we started recording, and of course Pat wasn't paying attention. He checked out. If you listen to the Tour Junkies show, that's a running theme that Pat will check out when I'm talking, and then he'll come back and want to repeat something that I said 4 minutes ago.
Oh, wait a minute. How long you guys been married?
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's almost like that.
That's what it feels like.
David checks out too. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah, not as often as Pat though.
So wait a minute.
I'm talking about the weather. Usually it's about the weather. You know, you just check out on the weather.
So. True.
So how do you guys don't just talk about upcoming PGA Tour events and what the lines are on that. You have guests, you do interviews as well.
Yeah, we've had, we try to keep it different in that way. And a lot of times when we bring a guest on, we like to do a couple things. One, we want to ask them questions that they don't usually ask. We feel like they kind of get tired of getting asked the same thing over and over again, and we're tired of hearing the same old answers over and over again. So we try to ask them some different questions. We always ask them about kind of fantasy golf related stuff, whether it's about statistics or about certain ways that courses set up, or whether it's about how they prepare for a course or what courses they like. And then recently we implemented a new segment called the Native Area. And the Native Area is named after, you know, an area on the golf course that you see a lot if you have PGA Tour's app and you track the players on the golf course. If they wind up in the Native Area, you don't really know what you're going to get. Your ball might be playable. It might not be. And so we bring them in the Native Area and we ask them some kind of crazy off-the-wall fun questions and get these guys talking about things that we don't normally hear them talk about. But to show a little bit of their personality. So we've had a number of tour players on. I mean, Kevin Kisner's been on before. Scott Brown, another Aiken boy. We've had Brooks Koepka, Scott Piercy, Billy Horschel, Stephen Bowditch has been on a few times. We've had Beef Johnston.
Wow.
We've had probably 15 or so tour pros, and then we love talking to caddies too. So
that's my favorite.
We've had a number of caddies on. A couple of them have been on more than once. So we like to bring in the guests to mix with the fantasy golf stuff, because what better to, you know, who better to ask about some of the stuff we talk about and pontificate about every week than the guys who are actually doing it.
So we already hear the guys in the booth talk too much anyway. So
that's exactly right. So we'd rather ask these guys good questions. So that's what we're doing.
Well, you know, I not that I would turn down an opportunity to talk to a PGA Tour pro. That would be fun. But I do love the opportunity to talk to caddies, because I think that, you know, the pros are seasoned at answering the press stupid questions, right? And they know that they can get themselves in trouble by the way they answer, because they've been through it. But caddies don't really care.
They don't care. They're caddy,
and they'll be willing to tell stories from inside the ropes that you don't get to hear. I love talking to caddies for that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had some real zingers on the show before. Kip Henley comes to mind. He's a pretty open caddy with some good stories.
So is there one that you remember when you talk about a zinger? Like,
well, there's the story that kind of made him famous or elevated his Twitter following, at least, was a couple years ago when he made a bet about the U.S. Open, actually, and he lost the bet. And he said when he made the bet that if he lost it, he'd mow his grass naked. So he lost the bet and then ended up cutting his grass and doing all this yard work naked while his wife took pictures, and he posted them on Twitter.
Oh, my God.
And his following just increased drastically. It's pretty funny.
You know, I have a feeling that wouldn't work for us. by the way, everybody, I've just posted pictures of myself doing yard work naked.
Speak for yourself, Fred. Speak for yourself, man. No, I think he tastefully hid everything, you know, necessary so he wouldn't get in trouble. But yeah, you know, holding the weed eater over.
Yeah, I was gonna say he covered his weed whacker, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yes.
All right, we're going too far with that. Okay. Well, I just think it's so cool that what you guys are doing, and that you get access to these guys, and you have them on the show. That's really cool. But again, it's all about the PGA Tour stuff that I'm.
That's right. It's all about the PGA Tour.
All about the PGA Tour. And I love that you guys are building an audience. You found an audience and you're having fun doing it, right? Bottom line?
Oh, having a blast. Yeah.
Always having absolutely fun.
That's the point of a podcast.
That's the goal.
Yep. When people ask you guys make a living at that, you just give them the puppy head turn going, What? No, it's a podcast. I'm doing this because I love talking about this stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the U.S. Open. This is going to be pretty interesting, especially now that that we know Phil is no longer playing. He's not going to be joining him.
I don't know about that.
Oh, Fred. You really think there's still a chance he's going to be playing?
There could be a chance. You may see him. I mean, he got a late tee time. So.
Yeah, oh, they did give him a late tee time? I don't think so.
If I were a betting man, which I am, and I found a dog that said Phil would play, I would take that. I think it's about a coin flip right now.
Really? No, wait a minute. Do either of you have kids?
Yes.
We both yes.
Do. Okay. Do either of you have kids that have graduated high school?
No.
No. Do either of you have kids that graduated pre-K,
though?
Right. Do either of you have kids that have graduated high school who is the senior class president and is doing the speech? No, you haven't.
No,
okay.
See, so here's where you're missing it, though, Fred. Like, I think he's going to do both. I think hands down, 100% positive, he will be at his daughter's graduation. Yeah. However, I feel like it's about a 50-50 chance that he will also make his tee time at the U.S. Open.
Okay, what time is his tee time?
I think it's 2-something, Pat. Do you have it in front? I don't know. I think it's 2
Yeah,
something.
I think it's like 2:30. And then he's also scheduled, speaking of 2:30, he is on the schedule for a press conference at 2:30 on Tuesday. So.
Yeah. Okay, he can make the press conference. He's still going home. All right, now let's just take a step back. Where is this U.S. Open being played and what time zone?
We are in Aaron Hills.
Yeah, and yeah, they're on what, the Central or Mountain time zone?
Central.
Central time zone.
Are they Central? Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's just pretend the graduation takes place at noon. It's not going to take place at 9 o'clock in the morning, right? So the graduation takes place at noon. It's over by 1:32. So that means it's already 4 o'clock at the golf course.
I'm just saying, Fred, it's Phil Mickelson. It's the U.S. Open. It's the one he's never won. It's the one he wants to win so badly. This course sets up very well for him. And there are a lot of people lobbying for, you know, the time of the graduation to be altered. You know he's going to have a warmed-up net jet ready to go as soon as it's over. I'm just saying nothing would be more Phil Mickelson-like than him having his daughter say the last word of her commencement speech and then just hightailing it in the airplane, landing and going straight to the first tee and contending in the U.S. Open.
Okay, so there's a bet I would take. I'm not a betting man, but I would bet he ain't going to make it. He's not going to make his tee time.
All right. We'll see.
That's okay.
I did not expect the first 20 minutes or so of the show to be talking about Phil Mickelson. You know, but I like it.
Okay, yeah, let's move on. I'll let you guys take over from here on what we should be paying attention to and what we should be proposing to DraftKings that we place our, I don't want to say the word bet. No. Our game. Let's talk about our game on DraftKings, right?
Well, David, right. I mean, you've got a lot of good insight on the course, so I think that's probably where we start, because this is a new course that no one has seen before, and so it's going to be interesting. It's a super long course. It's the second longest U.S. Open course outside of, I guess it was, what was it? The one you played, David.
Chambers Bay.
Okay. So. Yeah, which was, we know yeah. how people think that was a disaster.
Yeah, you got to start with the golf course. That's, if you're going to play DraftKings, you have to understand, you know, where these guys are playing first and foremost before you even talked about any players or anything. And this course is important. Like Pat said, it's the first time we've ever seen it. It's the first par 72 that we've seen at a U.S. Open since the 92 Open at Pebble Beach. We've been getting these par 70s, which is one reason why it's a little bit longer. The USGA just put out today, I believe, that at the time of the recording of this show, that the yardage was gonna fluctuate between 76 and 77.50 or something like that. So it is a little bit longer, but you know, I think the fairways are going to run quick. It just because the yardage is long, I don't think it necessarily means that you're looking at strictly guys who can bomb it. The fairways are some of the widest we've seen or we may ever see in a U.S. Open. So that's wow. key right there is you've got wide fairways. This is not a tight golf course. This is not a Chambers Bay as far as off the tee like that. It's wider. However, there when you get off the fairway, there is virtually no intermediate rough. It goes straight to, you know, 2 foot tall fescue.
Yeah, so well, U.S. Open, right?
Right, right. But it is really thick. It's really gnarly. These guys are going to be – they're going to struggle to get wedges on the ball and out of this stuff if they get in it. But there is going to be some room off the tee. There's virtually no trees on the golf course, so wind can get going. So you might want to think about, you know, wind players or guys who can flight the ball down low, like a Sergio or something like that. And the greens are – this is what I've heard about the greens today. So they stopped play on this golf course in October. No one has touched these greens since October. And what I heard today from someone on the course is that they are pristine. They are Augusta National-like greens as far as roll, as far as just pure. There's not going to be any bumps or spike marks or anything for these guys to blame it on. And they're going to be running so true and pure in their bent grass, a lot like Augusta National, that the guy on the course today said it feels very much like an Augusta National putting surface, and that the good putters are really going to salivate over these greens once they get on them, because they just know that the putts are going to drop and they're going to do what they look like they're going to do. So I think that's important. And then off the greens, you've got a lot of shaved down areas. So scrambling is another key stat. So, you know, you want to look at guys who can keep it in the fairway off the tee, avoid that fescue, but also guys who can scramble and putt, because if they're hitting these long approach shots into these greens and they happen to roll off, they're in these closely mown areas. You want them to be able to, you know, be good chippers, be able to chip off a tight lie, things like that. So I think those are some keys. You also got four par fives on this course, so which is, you know, with the par 72, a little bit different than a lot of U.S. Opens in the past. So I think it's going to open the door to a lot of different types of golfers. So I think when you're looking at DraftKings and who to draft and who to play, I'm not saying don't play the bombers, but I'm also saying don't just play the bombers, which is usually a thing on DraftKings. Is like, do I pick the guys who are just going to bomb and gouge the course, or do I pick the guys who are going to be accurate and keep it in the fairway? And I think a little bit of both is going to be interesting.
You said there's no trees. Does that mean it's more like of a link style course? That's what I think of when you say no trees.
It is very much like, so again, that same individual that I spoke with referenced it being kind of an Irish golf feel.
Wait, is this the person who said that Mickelson's going to play? Because I don't trust them.
No.
They have no credibility for me.
No, I didn't get that. I didn't get that from that person.
Okay.
So, yeah, I do think it has kind of a linksy feel to it for sure. Hmm. So anyway, that's the course, and those are some of the key statistics that when you're thinking about evaluating a player, you need to look at.
Okay. It just cracks me up. It tells you how much money is coming to this golf course if they can afford to shut it down in October for an event that's happening in June. If they can turn down every tee time, but is it a private course? Or it's not public.
I'm not sure if it is or not, but they probably don't want another Chambers Bay on their hands where the course isn't in great condition and everybody knows it. And so they, you know, everybody rails it for the next year. So that's probably what they're not wanting. So better safe than sorry.
Yeah. But if it's a public course and they shut it down, that's all those tee times that they're losing. And if it's a private course and just because they have an event coming 6 months from then, you can imagine a lot of these people who pay the monthly is like, no, I'm not paying this monthly. If I can't play, what's the point of that? So I just found that really interesting. How do they manipulate, you know, that? And it shows how much money a course can make. Now, when you say that no one's ever seen it before, how does a course that's never been on the tour end up as a U.S. Open course?
They actually, so I think they opened this course in 2006, and it was, I know they did a kind of a trial USGA run in 2011 with the U.S. Amateur, and which Kelly Kraft won, by the way. And so it was, I think it was built as a U.S. Open course is what I think. And and now here we are. So I don't know anything about the membership as far as what you're talking about, but who knows? It could be like the National where they just do whatever they want. So they can close it. And, but I think, you know, it's just that I like it when we have a course like this that no one's really seen, because I think it just, like David said, there's going to be a lot of different players, I think, that are going to be able to contend here. And it's going to be neat for the viewers to watch because, you know, it's just something they haven't seen before. And it does have that Lynx kind of feel to it. So I think it's going to be one of the better U.S. Opens.
Awesome. All right. So should we – all right, we've talked about the venue. Is there anything else we need to talk about, the X factors, before we get into players?
I don't think so.
All right. Let's get to it. Or should I ask before we even get to it, how'd you guys do on the Masters? Because you gave us a lot of predictions and you helped me. I want to bet because of the Masters. But did you guys do well with the Masters?
Man, that was, golly, that was back in April, Fred. I don't know if I can remember how I did, but I think I did okay. I don't know. I know David had a really good week. So that was during what we called my dry spell.
Yeah, I had a good week.
You have to go back and listen to the podcast to know what that was. But I'm pretty sure the Masters was still at the tail end of that.
Were either of you surprised how it ended with Sergio winning it?
I was not. I think Sergio was a good bet that week.
Yeah.
You were surprised, David?
I mean, I was surprised that he actually closed the deal. I mean, I wasn't. Mm. We liked him from a top five, top ten perspective, but. We were shocked that I was shocked that he closed the deal. It would have been better for my DraftKings had Justin Rose won. I had a little more Justin Rose than I did Sergio. But, you know, I think I remember giving you picking to win Ricky Fowler. You kind of laughed at me for it. And you're like, whoa, Ricky Fowler. And then there he was in the last group on Sunday. Of course, he crapped the bed along with Jordan Spieth. But
that's why
he was there. So
that's why I laughed. All right, let's talk about the U.S. Open then.
Let's go.
You're on.
So we usually start at the top. So we'll go over the 10K range. So this week you've got in that range, you've got DJ at the top. You got Jordan Spieth. You got Rory. You got Day, Fowler, Rahm, and Garcia at the bottom at 10,000. And I love Jordan Spieth this week at 11.5. I think, you know, we talked about bent grass greens. He obviously putts well on those type greens. He's going to keep it in the fairway here, which they're pretty wide fairways. But, you know, he's going to, you know, strokes gained approach is one of the stats that we look at. And I think that's going to be important. And he's number four in strokes gained approach. So Jordan Spieth, to me, is probably going to be my top guy in this range. And I think I'm going to play some John Rahm. I think, you know, we talk about tournaments versus cash games and DraftKings. Tournaments are your more risky. They only pay out probably the top 25%, whereas in a cash game, it's usually the top 50%. So Rahm, to me, might be a little bit of a GPP play because he's coming off, you know, a bad week a couple weeks ago at the Memorial. And, you know, he's at the lower range here. So I do like John Rahm this week as well. So I'll turn it over to David for his thoughts.
No, before you do that, I'm sorry for being an idiot. What's a GPP play?
So GPP is a tournament in DraftKings. And that, let's just say you have like a small, like a $3 entry. You may have 20,000 people in that. And if you win a tournament, you can win a boatload of money. Like you may win 5 or 10 grand. But you got to finish up at the top. Whereas in a cash game, you are basically just wanting to beat 50% of the field. So that's you're either going to play cash, which is going to be your more conservative plays. And if you want to get risky and play contrarian, then that's when you're going to, you know, you're going to try to put those guys in as a tournament play.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
So right. It's like playing highly rated bonds versus, you know, international stocks.
Right.
It's kind of. It's something like that. But, you know, DraftKings, for every major, they have a huge contest. It's the Millionaire Maker.
Right.
So it's $33 per entry, and there's, you know, thousands of people playing in it, and the winner's going to get $1 million. So that would be a GPP or a tournament play. And in those, you have to have a unique lineup. I mean, if you just go and bet – you know, draft everybody, every player that everybody is on and talking about, then likely you're not gonna have an edge on the field. So you got to have those sleepers. You got to have those value guys. You got to have those guys that not as many people are on.
Love it.
As far as a strategy, for me in the top tier range, I'm completely in agreement with Pat, and we have not talked about this before the show. So I'm in complete agreement. I like Jordan Spieth a lot, especially after hearing the report on the greens and you know his big flaw here lately. He's been struggling off the tee with accuracy. And that's what he's somewhat corrected. And I think these fairways will allow him to continue to miss it a little bit if he has to, but he's not going to miss it enough to be in the fescue. Great scrambler, putter. We know that. So Spieth is my guy. And then I really will have a ton of Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia. I think repeatedly Justin Rose in every major is overlooked and undervalued. And I think he is on DraftKings as well. He's pretty cheap on DraftKings at $9,800. And then Sergio, I think, is just going to continue to strike the ball well, which he always does. Confidence. He's a wind player if the wind kicks up. So those are three guys, you know, kind of three studs is kind of what we call them. Those are three studs that I'm probably going to lock and load in a lot of my lineups.
I like
it. So then I guess we go to kind of the $8,000 or kind of mid-range in the $7,000 range. There's some guys I feel like in this category are a little overvalued on DraftKings. Some guys I might stay away from. If you look at Vegas odds, which I like to look at just to see where Vegas has people in relation to where DraftKings has people. A couple of guys in that upper range that are overvalued according to Vegas are Jason Duffner, who might be getting a little bump on DraftKings because of his recent victory, and Daniel Berger. So those are a couple guys out there that I'm not going to pay for. So, and I think that's just as important when you're looking at who you're going to pick. We call them fades, guys who are going to fade. In other words, guys who are either not going to play at all or guys who are going to have very little of. And so you also gain an edge on the field when you don't play certain guys that other guys will be high on. If they don't do well, then you're moving up. So Jason Duffner and Daniel Berger, a couple fades for me. I don't really have a lot in the $8,000 category that I'm a big fan of. Pat, what do you think?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to agree with you there, too. And I am going to probably say Duff and Berger. Also, Bubba Watson up there at 8,200. He did have a pretty good week recently, but he's just, I don't know. I'm not sure I can get on the Bubba train. But I do like Adam Scott, though, at 8,800. I think, you know, he's obviously a world-class player. Checks a lot of stat categories this week for me. So I think I will have some Adam Scott. But as far as the 8K range, that's probably going to be it for me. And I'll drop down, you know, in the sevens and have a lot of I like Kiz, you know, who we had on the show, and then some Thomas Peters. It's and Thomas Peters at 7,700. I think now his driver's going to worry me a little bit, but I think this is obviously a longer course. He is a bomber. But I think that he's one of those guys that could just is ready for a breakthrough win. And so I do like some Peters this week. So and then maybe Cooch just below him. Cooch is just a great, consistent player. To get him at 7,600 is pretty cheap.
I'm taking notes. and David, what about the 7,000 range for you that you like?
Yeah, I think Kisner for sure. And he was on, we were talking about him long before coming on the podcast. But to me, just when you think about a second shot golf course, a scrambling golf course, putting on bent greens, a great putter, Kisner is all of those things. And a lot of people think, you know, kind of lump him into that short hitter category, but he's really not. I mean, he's not a Jim Furyk or a Zach Johnson short. Kis can hit him 305, 310 when he needs to. So I think he's also longer than a lot of people think. And with wide open fairways and his accuracy, he can probably let it go. So I really, really like Kiz. There's one guy next to him that I know a lot of people are talking up and is going to be another fade for me, and that's Martin Kaymer, U.S. Open champion. And here's why. I don't like the scrambling from Kaymer. We know that his entire career, Martin Kaymer has been a horrible chipper of the golf ball. And with these tightly mown areas around these greens, if he misses and he's in these little tight greens, and the word on the street, too, is you can't putt these things. It's not a Texas wedge Pinehurst feel. You're going to have to chip it through the fringe. So I don't like that for Martin Kaymer, and that's going to be one where I feel like a lot of people are going to have him, and I think the fade will give me an edge if he, you know, if he busts. So that's one. Also kind of interested in Shane Lowry, who I think we're dipping down a little bit lower here into the 6K range. But Shane Lowry, the Irishman, finished second last year to Dustin Johnson, if you remember. Was in the final group and definitely plays well in the wind, plays hard golf courses well in strong fields. So Shane Lowry to me is one that I like. I also agree with Pat's Thomas Peters call. This guy's a total stud. Pat and I had a chance to go to the Ryder Cup in the fall and watch him play. And Thomas Peters is the real deal. And, you know, he's young, so this isn't his first major, but he is young. So if he can keep it in the fairway and out of that fescue and keep a head on his shoulders, this guy could light it up. He's very John Rahm-like. So if your typical American doesn't really know who Thomas Peters is, if you know who John Rahm is, Thomas Peters is basically the same thing. Those are a couple of, I mean, I agree with Pat on those calls. I guess we can get down into the scrub category. Pat, if you want to start with that, and we'll kind of round it out.
Sure. Was there a reason you're, are you calling me a scrub? Is that why I need to start in the scrub category?
Now, girls, knock it off.
No, I don't want to bore the listener just listening to me.
You guys work it out, or you're never going to get to sleep over here again.
Well, let me tell you that actually this is where the money is made in DraftKings. When you're looking at these guys below seven, you really got to peg these guys right, especially as we talked about in some of the tournament plays like the Millie Maker. So I'll start near the top. I like Griot at 6,900. He's a guy that to me is again just another world class player. That you know he's good around the greens. He's a good putter on bent grass. I think, you know, you look at strokes gained off the tee is another stat category where he's top 25 in the field. So I think Griot could be a good play. That to me is a cheap price. And then going down a little bit further, you know, our another local guy for us who's been playing really well this year is Wes Bryan at 6,800. And I think he's also seen the course. He did some Instagramming and some tweeting. Recently, he did get to go out and seemed to be one of the few people that got to play it early on. So I like that he has seen the course already. And so at 6,800, I think he'll be a good play. And then one more I'll give you in this range. I like Matthew Fitzpatrick at 6,700. We see him kind of across between, you know, the European Tour and then the PGA Tour. I do think one of the things we haven't talked about at all yet is the weather. And if we do get some wind, which right now I don't know exactly. We like to look at the wind on Wednesday night, so tomorrow night we'll look at the wind. But, you know, he's you know, used to this kind of course, used to the Lynx course, and you know, younger guy on tour. So I think he could be another good play at 6,700, especially in something like the Millie Maker.
Now, it's so interesting.
That's kind of the top half of that 6,000.
So. Yeah, let me just throw in here some of my research that there are three, on opening day, three U.S. amateur champions that will be paired together, and that's Matt Fitzpatrick, who won in 2013, Peter Uihlein in 2010, and Byung-Hun Ahn, in 2009, they're all going to tee off together. And you like Fitzpatrick. Yeah. Okay.
I do. And I always like, by the way, speaking of the tee times, I like how the U.S. Open does their tee times. They kind of create some very interesting ones. And
how's that?
It's good to see. Well, you look at, you got, like, they'll pair some studs together. Like, you'll have, like, Day. Aren't, like, Day and DJ and maybe Stenson or somebody playing together? I can't remember, but I know
they've got – No, they've got last three U.S. Open winners, so
that's
DJ,
right, yeah.
Spieth,
yeah.
And Martin Kaymer together. They have Sergio, Scott, and Bubba together, so three Masters champions. They just do some unique stuff, kind of creative tee time pairing for the first 2 days. It's cool.
Cool.
If I'm looking at the 6K range and especially that group that Pat just mentioned of Fitzpatrick, Uihlein, and Byung-Hun Ahn. Fitzpatrick would probably be the one I like the least. Pat is normally a fan of Fitzpatrick. He just never works out for me, so I don't really see it happening. U-line did not really play that well at the FedEx St. Jude Classic. I don't really like the form with U-line, so I'm not going to take him. Byung-Hun Ahn I really like, but I think he's going to be pretty popular. He's going to be pretty high-owned in DraftKings. I think a lot of people are going to be on him.
Chalky.
So if you want to differentiate yourself, you might want to not play Byung-Hun Ahn. But a couple guys I like at 6,800 on DraftKings, the old man, Lee Westwood. Great ball striker, you know, plays well and putts well at Augusta. He just can't ever close the door.
Yeah, when was the last time he won?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You don't need him to win. It's $6,800 on DraftKings. Okay. You're not looking for him to win. You really just need him to make the cut and score well, you know, finish top 25, top 20, which I think Lee Westwood could very easily do. Another guy I really like is Lucas Glover, former U.S. Open champion himself. Lucas, if you haven't been paying attention to the PGA Tour this year, Lucas Glover is having a really good season. And for a while, for the last couple years, he's been one of these guys where you kind of scratch your head and go, how is this guy retaining his tour card? Because he can't make a 3-foot putt. But but this year it's just been different. He's putting better. He is a phenomenal ball striker. He is not going to find himself in trouble off the tee or from his approach shots. He's one of the best ball strikers on tour. It's really his putter that's held him back. So I think the value for Glover being in a U.S. Open, and if these greens are rolling as pure as they are, then maybe it neutralizes some of Lucas Glover's horrible putting ability. So those are a couple other kind of scrubs I like in that range. So I think I think for your listeners who maybe haven't played a lot of DraftKings, I think we've given you some guys who you could feel comfortable with. I wouldn't want to go too crazy and give you some real deep sleepers just yet, because you guys might be like, who the heck are you talking about? So so I think that's good. I think we gave you a good foundation there.
I think you gave great advice. Yeah. Yeah. Pat, you want to add anything else? All right, you guys, this is like so efficient. I appreciate that.
No, I'm going to try to quit while we're ahead. I'm like, David, I don't
want to. Because you want me to come back in a couple, in next month when the champion, Open Championship happens, and I'm like, and?
Yeah. I mean, if we go too much further, I'm going to be throwing out guys with last name Wang and, you know, things like that. Ormsby, who's in here priced at 6,400, so.
Kidding. Yeah, don't play.
Okay, now this is off of DraftKings for people who have different kind of games going on. Tell me who you think are going to be, each of you, who you think are going to finish in the top five on Sunday.
Top five.
And don't say Phil Mickelson. Do not say Phil Mickelson.
Well, I think we both agree Spieth is going to be there. I think we both agree Kisner is going to be there. I feel like DJ is going to be there. I think that's a safe bet. I think Shane Lowry is going to be there. Four.
I think Rose. I think you got to throw Rose in that.
I love Rose. I agree. Yeah. So I think those would be my five. I don't know if Pat would want to jump off of any of that.
I'm there with you. I don't know. I may not say Lowry. I might even throw in Garcia as opposed to Lowry. I think you could easily see Garcia contend again this year, even coming off that Masters win. I know people tend to fade the guy that won the Masters, but he's kept his great form. This course should fit him well. So I think you may see Garcia up there again.
Interesting. So neither of you picked Rory. I mean, there's some names that would seem obvious, but you're not. I mean, is Rory hurt?
Rory, he was hurt, and we haven't seen him since he's been injured. And I know he says his game is in good form.
But you don't see him finishing top five.
No, I mean, I don't. Obviously, Rory McIlroy, like, the guy could win it. Anybody in that top tier can win the thing. But you have to, you know, just like you asked us to only pick five.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With DraftKings, you have to plant your flag somewhere and say, stake in the ground, this is what I'm doing. You can't, if you try to play everybody, you're probably gonna, I mean, you might break even, but you're not playing it to break even. Like you're playing it to obviously make some money and have some fun and have something riding on the tournament. So at some point we have to plant our flag on guys and say, you know, I'm not going to play Rory. I'm not going to play Day. I'm rolling with, you know, a lot of Jordan, a lot of Rose, a lot of Garcia, a little bit of Rahm, and a little bit of DJ, you know, and then kind of go on. So, you know, same thing.
In a course that favors big hitters, you guys haven't brought up Bubba.
I don't think that it does.
Like, oh, I see what you're saying. It's just a long course, but it doesn't favor the big guys.
Not necessarily.
But you said the fairways are wide.
I did. I think the course is not going to play as long as the yardage reads out. Mm-hmm. It's a fairly dry course. The fairways are fescue, so the ball's going to run, and so I feel like it's going to open itself up to anybody, not just the bombers. And yeah, Pat mentioned Bubba as a fade, as somebody who we're not going to play. He did just play pretty well his last time out, but it wasn't a very difficult tournament or field. Bubba's game's been off this year. I mean, I'm with Pat. I'm not interested in playing him at all for that reason. But you know, I think the more important thing is going to be the putting and scrambling in the second shot.
Yeah.
Well, it's less about the off the tee shot.
And the thing with Bubba too is you know, you talk about the Masters where he's, you know, Augusta National, he's obviously performed well there, but you can miss green or you can miss fairways, you know, because you're going to have, you know, 1 inch rough. Whereas here, if you miss some fairways, you're in big trouble. And I could see him doing that. You know, we talk about the fairways are wide, but then once you get off the fairways, you got about 8 yards until you're into some significant native area. So. so that's where I think you could see Bubba a lot in this turn, and he never really typically fares well in the U.S. Open. So
that's true too. Yep. Mm.
And it's going to be interesting to see if the, you know, what you're saying about the fairways being wide and then the rough getting really thick afterwards, where the fans are going to be allowed to stand, because you don't want them trampling down that fescue, right?
That's true. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah. I have no insight on that.
Yeah, since we've never seen the course on the tour, we'd have no idea how that's going to fly. Neither of you brought up two names. I'm going to bring up, and then we can wrap this up. Ricky, nothing. Fowler.
I like Fowler. I think he's going to be a favorite, so he's going to be extremely popular.
Oh, you had him in the 10K list. Okay.
Yeah, if you play him on DraftKings, I would overplay him, like play him in a lot of your lineups or most of your lineups, because I do think he's going to be pretty popular. So I think you either need to be playing him a lot or don't play him at all.
Interesting.
For me, I think I'd rather play Rose and Garcia kind of right there around him and see what happens. But I do think Ricky's going to have a good week.
Pat?
Yeah, I mean, he's right now. I don't have any Ricky, so you know.
What about Matsuyama? Let's go to the next one then. Matsuyama.
Matsuyama's putting has been really bad. Ooh, I mean, that's why he's had a. I mean, that's why he's. I mean, honestly, he's kind of had an off year for Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, he's still a great ball striker. He's going to make cuts. Not going to have any problem tee to green, but it's when he gets on the green, he's not putting.
I'm seeing outside of 100th in the field in putting.
That's no bueno.
Wow. Interesting. Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah.
I
love having you back. And we've got another major coming up next month, right?
That's right. We'll try to come back on and do the same thing. Hopefully your listeners will you know, have a little profit from this week, and they'll want to hear us again.
Yeah, well, at the very least, you're the Tour Junkies podcast. Is it weekly? It is weekly, right?
It is weekly. Yeah. We usually release it every Monday night on the East Coast, and you can find it on iTunes. If you guys don't follow us on Twitter, definitely look us up on Twitter. That's where we do a lot of our damage.
At Tour Junkies.
At Tour _junkies at _junkies.
Okay. Don't forget that underscore.
That's why I'm writing it down right now. _junkies. Why? Did somebody else have tour junkies?
Yeah, somebody else has tour junkies. And they want to sell it for some ridiculous amount of money. So if anybody wants to chip into that, it's I think the guy said he wanted like $1,500 for the Twitter handle.
Oh,
and I was like,
come
all right,
on.
Dude, you can forget that.
Yeah, you can forget that. We'll go _ for
anybody,
free. We'll definitely
really
take
likes
the
us.
Yeah.
Win some money in the U.S. Open, and you want to give us $1,500? We will gladly take it, and we'll send you some free tour junkie swag.
Wait a minute!
I
never got any tour junkie swag,
David.
I didn't.
Get any. Free TJ swag, hats, shirts, all that stuff.
I didn't get any tour junkie swag. You're sending it to the listeners, but I don't get any. I mean, I'm like,
we'll have to hook that up then, Fred.
God.
Pat is our merch czar, so you can work it out.
I have
with
all
Pat.
The merch. It's actually right beside me right now. So I'll you go to the store and how about this? I'll just send you a care package. How about that, Fred?
That's very kind of you, and I will wear it proudly.
What's your shirt size?
Medium.
Okay, we got that.
Cool.
We'll hook you up, Fred.
All right. Well, listen, that's not why I did this, but I appreciate it. That's very nice of you. Anyway.
Trust me, when you see this swag, we're going to know that's not why you did this.
Yes. I know. I love the logo of the rodent. We had the long conversation about the rodent last time. We're not going to go there this time.
That's right.
All right, guys. Well, good luck to you. I hope you have great success at this year's U.S. Open. And I hope that all the listeners follow your advice and walk away with a big grin on their face at the end of the weekend.
Yes.
And what I really, really don't hope that happens, although it would be an awesome Father's Day to have the U.S. Open followed by Game 7 of the NBA playoffs, but please, no Game 7. Please. I think we can end it on Game 5 and I'll be happy. But again, that's tomorrow. Hopefully it's old news.
There we go.
All right, guys. Be well. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks, Fred.
Thanks, Fred.
Yay. And it is old news. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I could even speak. So that obviously was recorded on Sunday, and here it is Tuesday morning, and I needed to say congratulations to my Golden State Warriors for winning the NBA championship and for not making sure there's a Game 7 on Sunday after the U.S. Open. I also want to congratulate my sons, who were both at the game together. Ah, so cool when your kids like each other and want to go out with each other and celebrate together. Anyway, you know, it's not like I didn't have a celebration going on in my house. We had 8 friends over to watch the game and cheered our voices out till very, very late. You know, I'm quickly closing in, not me, us, we are quickly closing in on episode number 600 of the Golf Smarter podcast, and I have never cheated on these numbers. I mean, they are actually one after the other. I may have skipped a week or two once or twice, but never skipped a number. We've got some really, in the next couple of weeks, we've got some really interesting conversations coming up, including my old buddy who is here for episode number 400 will be on episode number 600, and that is Jim Waldron of the Balance Point Golf Schools. Always has a lot to offer, and that's why he's been on so much. We talk about that in the show. Please remember that all Golf Smarter episodes dating back to 2005 are now free for everyone so that you can listen as often as you'd like. The easiest way to access them all is by downloading the free Golf Smarter app for iOS or Android. But of course, you can subscribe for free in iTunes, the Apple Podcasts app, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. So as always, I'm glad and proud to say, if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, you know, when you write to me and I respond to you, and then you're blown away that I respond to you, I got to tell you about this. I get people going, I can't believe that you wrote back to me so quickly. If you take the time to listen, first of all, I'm totally grateful and surprised. I don't know why, but I don't. Why would you listen? And then also, if you're going to not only listen, but then take the time to write to me, who am I to say I'm not going to write back to you? So if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please follow at Golf Smarter on Twitter, at Golf Smarter on Facebook, or Instagram. But the easiest way to get in touch with me, of course, just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.